Attention, patriots. Broadcasting from the Free Zones, Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2...
Morning and welcome to the Morning Commute with JJS and Lady Liberty, broadcasting from the Free Zones. This is 96.5 FM and AM 630 on the dial. Patriot territory here, and broadcasting even on live streaming, so we can reach those of you that are outside the wire in occupied territory. You're Lady Liberty. Good morning. Friday morning.
I know. Good morning. Good morning, everyone out there. It is Friday, and thank goodness. And we just are going to be carrying on with what we've been covering so far this week with a little bit more info about the Culp Inslee debate was such a slaughter on Inslee's part. I mean, Culp just trounced him. And so
it was. And I am excited to demonstrate a little bit of during the break. Our break will consist of a compilation of Inslee getting caught lying and trying to wiggle his way out of some hard questions and hard points.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to put those together. But and I'll explain that, you know, before we go into the break. But
And also, I have a huge correction to make right off the bat. Yesterday, I misheard that debate. I think I was just so feverishly writing my notes down because I was trying to write down everything as fast as I could that I missed a critical piece of information that I really harped on, and it was about the super important point that Culp made about Inslee taking. Not taking, but paying $164,000 a week to a global
consulting firm
on how to deal with COVID-19 in our state, and what to say, what to think about it, what to do, everything. And so I just wanted to clarify, and I absolutely apologize for this. This was a total accident. I thought that he was receiving payment, and that was not the case. He was actually paying taxpayer money in the amount of $164,000 a week to this global consultant firm. And so,
yep, taxpayers' money paying for this.
Yeah. So I just wanted to point that out right away because, you know, our whole point is truth in the news. And I just wanted to let everyone know that I misheard and, you know, so.
Well, there it is. There corrected then.
Corrected.
You were saying it and it just went right over my head. It didn't even occur to me until we re-listened to the show. And I'm like, wait.
Right, exactly. I know. We listened afterwards and I was like, oh no. Oh, oops. I misunderstood what he said. So,
right.
Yeah. Oops.
So, all right. Well, hey, thanks for bringing that up, correcting it, and we'll move right along.
That's right.
we've got lots of stuff to get into. I've got, after the word of the day, there's three headlines. I don't know how we want to pick and choose from them, but we've got lots of connections. The communists trying to influence the direction of our country.
Yes. And yeah. Yeah. I think we really need to point a lot of that out because I'm astounded. The more that we dig up, the more I'm surprised at how well hidden they are in our nation.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And I'm really pleased to see that this administration is onto it.
Yep.
I mean, there are people that within our government that are fully aware of the level of infiltration by communists and the influence that they have within our government and in multiple different institutions within our culture.
Right. And so now that we're on to them, we're seeing them actually take action. And so both of us have articles that we wanted to elaborate on to describe all of that for all of you.
Absolutely. All right. Well, okay. I will. I've got my amazing, awesome cup of Minuteman coffee right here.
That's right.
So I'm going to just drink my coffee while you...
Hey, you know what? Okay, so here's your little difference. You've got your Minuteman coffee in your Amron cup.
Yeah.
Well, now the Minuteman coffee guy has our Amron cup, and so he he can be doing the same thing at his house.
That's right. It's a good looking cup too. That's the Amron, and they're available in the store. But the yeah, it's got the tan, like desert tan, coyote tan logo on a black mug, and it looks really good, really sharp, really pro.
Yeah, those are cool cups. Yeah. I don't think we'll probably do that again, though, will we?
Oh yeah, they're super popular, but probably just at events because
they're super expensive to ship to people.
It is. It's ridiculous. Yeah,
you lose money just every time you have to ship one.
I know. You lose money like they lose ballots. Sheesh.
Well, not that bad. We've never lost that much money.
That's funny. Yeah, some New Jersey postman just got busted with like dumping like 1,000 more.
Oh my gosh.
But it is, you know, mail-in ballots is virtually non-existent, you know.
I know, right? We have to keep that in mind, right? Because even though there's 1,000, they don't exist. That didn't happen.
Yeah. If you're not sure what the truth on the matter is, just to ask somebody like Biden or somebody like that, right? Get all squared away. So anyway, and then let's go to the other end of the spectrum and let's listen to what you have with the word
the
of
truth.
God.
Yeah. That's right. You want to learn the truth? Go to God. Okay. So the word of the day for Friday comes to us from Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 11, which reads, "The voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the voice of those who will say, 'Praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for his mercy endures forever,' and of those who will bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord, for I will cause the captives of the land to return as at the first, says the Lord."
Hmm. Well, what's your interpretation of that as far as the application of it? I mean, I understand the voice, understanding, hearing, and recognizing the voice of the bridegroom and the bride, his mercy enduring forever. But what do you think that means, the captives, bringing the captives back into the land as in before?
Well, so he's referencing Israel. He's referring to bringing the captives back who have been sent off to Babylon. He's describing those that he's bringing back. I'm assuming that the voice of joy, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the bride, the voice of those who say, "Praise the Lord of hosts, for he is good." Because they were sent away because of their sin and their continual idol worship and horrible things that they were doing.
Oh, yeah. It was judgment.
And so when... You know, when it says he is good and his mercy endures forever, that just means that he's not gonna hold a grudge against them forever. He's always willing to redeem us.
Yes. He's always wanting to, ready to, when the time comes.
That's right. When they have a change of heart.
Yeah, his desire is to, at some point, is to redeem you.
Right. And so here, that's what it's describing. It's when they've had a change of heart and they have returned to him, they want to be back in his presence, then he's coming, you know, he's letting them come back. So I think that's, you know, that's good.
We'll meditate on that. Jeremiah 33:11. Pretty easy to write down. Pretty easy to remember that one. And on that note, as far as, you know, our biblical teachings and leadership, John MacArthur, a biblical scholar and pastor, just this on discern.com, John MacArthur said, he just released a video on Twitter saying that this is a watershed moment in America. Open your church. It's an act of defiance, which is very cool to hear from him. And I really like it. Solid teaching. Much more, as I've mentioned before, much more pacifistic.
Yeah.
Even toward tyranny. In some of his teachings. And so now he's being faced with prison and he's saying, "Hey, I'll start a prison ministry."
Right.
Now he's releasing new, more frequently, he's releasing encouraging words and advice, guidance, whatever you want to call it, for the church to repent and for pastors to defy these godless and unconstitutional, unlawful orders and open up their churches, because they are essential to this culture, and that's exactly what he called them. So that's really good to see. It's really, really good, really encouraging.
Oh, I agree. And the fact that the church as a whole across the United States is waking up to the fact that they are being called to this battlefield, this political realm battlefield.
They realize that it is a battlefield.
Yes. They realize that, you know what? Oh my gosh, what have we been doing all this time? You know, this, the godless people have been taking over while we've been being told by the IRS, more or less, to stay out of everything. And that's the bottom line. It ends up being the IRS and these laws that were made to curb the church and to prevent the church's participation and discourage anything political. And so, you know, thank goodness that Trump really got in there and started attacking that law that, you know, that the churches had to, you know, follow this IRS guideline. Otherwise, mm-hmm. they'd be in trouble. And that really is a terrible law. That was a terrible thing to have in place. And look at how much ground it bought the communists.
Under the lie of separation of church and state.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, you can't have it tax exempt. It's like funding a religion, so you can't talk about anything religious political, you know, from the pulpit, which is that's a complete failure to understand the intent of the founding fathers and our founding documents. And what that law, even what that, it's not even a law. Separation of church and state is nowhere in the Constitution. You know, it's from a letter from Thomas Jefferson to the Danbury Baptist Church, expressing essentially that the separation of church and state means that the government has no business meddling in the affairs of the church.
Right.
It's been flipped, though, by the deceivers. And so that's what we're dealing with now.
And that was Trump's responsibility, that he went and got rid of a lot of that. And so,
But even before that, for decades now, pastors have been defying it, preaching from the gospel, talking about politics in defiance of this tax exempt status IRS thing. And none of them have been prosecuted for it in decades.
Right.
And so, you know, rise up. Be strong.
Yeah, don't run when nobody's chasing you.
Exactly. It's kind of like a pandemic that never was, you know, except the ghost of it.
That's right.
Well, we've got some things after the break we're going to talk about. I've got a few articles here. One, the New American covering the DHS issuing immigration guidelines banning those with links to communism. Hallelujah and amen.
No kidding.
The New York Times is calling for leftists. New York Times calling for UN United Nations election intervention, saying that Biden must follow Belarus protesters and appeal to the world for help in this upcoming election.
Oh, I beg your pardon.
Yeah, exactly. And then finally, Nancy Pelosi is putting together a team to discuss the 25th Amendment, which would invoke... Well, invoking the 25th Amendment would allow them to remove a president because of under conditions of being unfit for serving in the office due to mental or physical or some other type of reasoning why this person is unfit for duty for this office and removing him by force. So this 25th Amendment panel to begin discussing that, I guess, has been developed. That's on the Daily Wire.
Well, ask any communist. Any non-communist is not fit for office, right?
Well, the Democrats think that anyone who's not a communist is.
That's what I'm just saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're all communists. The Democrats have been taken over by the communists, and she is the leader of their party.
That's right. Well, hey, if you guys remember this earlier this year,
has the highest ranking office, rather. Let me not be accused of saying the wrong thing again.
Well, earlier this summer, Governor Inslee was quoted saying he didn't know anything about the CHAZ and the declaring independence and the autonomous zone inside of Seattle as they were burning and running police out of their own precinct. And so I've got a copy of that, of him, the quote of him from that presser, basically playing dumb. And then it goes right into a kind of a montage of various different questions and responses involving the moderators, Governor Inslee and Chief Culp From the debates. From
soon-to-be Governor Culp.
Soon-to-be Governor Culp from the night before last. So sit back and enjoy this little compilation from the debates the night before last. And then we'll be back right after this. This segment is brought to you by our sponsor, Strategic Self-Defense, giving yourself the home field advantage over your over threats by planning to equip and train in your home, on your property, and from your vehicle or your place of business. Customized training, Strategic Self-Defense, and the website is strategicself-defense.com. This is the Voice of the American Redoubt. Stay right there.
About what's going on in Seattle, there's this thing called the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone. What's your thought on that, the fact that the protesters have taken that over and not allowing people to come and go freely? And regarding the National Guard,
well, that's news to me, so I'll have to reserve any comment about it. I have not heard anything about that from any credible source. Not that you're not credible, it's just like before I espouse an opinion, I should know of which I speak.
Nearly 2 days after demonstrators took over an area outside the Seattle Police Department's East Precinct, dubbing it an autonomous zone, you claimed not to know about it, despite it being the subject of nonstop local and national news coverage, despite it trending nationwide on Twitter. What should voters make of the fact that you were apparently oblivious to police abandoning an entire precinct in the state's largest city?
Yeah, well, listen, if you look at the facts of that situation, I could not have been oblivious to it. Well, that's news to me, so I'll have to reserve any comment about it. I have not heard anything about that.
Sir, then why do you say you did not know about it?
You'll have to go back and look at some quote. I can't comment on the quote right now.
Just so I'm clear, Governor, because I feel like I need to address that with you right now. Your quote was, "This is news to me." You went on to say, "I haven't heard about it from any credible source." Nearly 2 days after CHOP happened, you're now saying you did know about CHOP.
It wouldn't be inaccurate to assume that I couldn't exactly not say that it is or isn't almost partially incorrect.
So you do know?
On the contrary, I'm possibly more or less not definitely rejecting the idea that in no way, with any amount of uncertainty, that I undeniably...
Stop it!
Chief Culp, on the topic of civil unrest, we're talking about the nightly protests Seattle dealt with at times riots over the summer.
Right. We currently have a governor that's very soft on crime. That's obvious. He doesn't know that crimes are being happened, that parts of Seattle have been taken over. And I saw him in that live conference. It was clear that he had no clue what was going on, or he was lying, or one or the other.
Well, that's news to me, so I'll have to reserve any comment about it. I have not heard anything about that. Listen, I can't tell you. I knew about CHOP.
Well, maybe we should talk about the $164,000 a week that this governor paid a global consulting firm to tell him what to do and what to say on the COVID crisis. And I didn't misspeak. $164,000 per week is a no-bid contract that he signed with a global consulting firm. That's taxpayer money.
Governor Inslee, I'd like to give you a chance to rebut the claims just made there by Chief Culp.
I have no idea what he's referring to.
This is a governor who promised 8 years ago that he would not raise taxes. And he has lied to us 33 times. The state budget has almost doubled under his tenure. Clearly, he had no clue what was going on, or he was lying, or one or the other.
And there you have it. Hopefully, you guys appreciated that little compilation. What did you think of that, Lady Liberty?
Oh, my gosh. That little clip in there from Shrek. Oh my, the little Pinocchio one that just cracks me up to no end.
Oh, that was the Inflee, the squirming mode.
Yes, he was squirming at that moment.
It was funny to see Culp say, you know, hey, this guy has broken the law, committed misdemeanors, and gotten away with it. Committed crimes. He's talking about the the apple maggot quarantine, the signs.
Right. Yeah. You know, there's a funny little quote in the local newspaper from Culp when he was, this is prior to the debate, and he described how they were going to have everything so sterile, basically, you know, that they weren't going to be able to be in the same room together. You know, it was all going to be all just right. So everything wiped down. And he goes, well, there is one plus. We're not even going to be in the same room, so Inslee is unlikely to offer me an apple.
That's awesome.
Which I thought was really funny.
That is actually, yeah, he went to the forest fires and took some apples to give to the firefighters.
Yeah, Inslee did.
Yeah, from his own personal, yeah, that was Inslee, not Culp.
Right.
So his own personal orchard or whatever, and he takes it, crosses the lines. It's a misdemeanor. It's a crime right. to transport these. And the apples that he had apple maggots.
Yes.
Was the precise reason why you're not supposed to. It was.
Yeah, it's a misdemeanor. And, you know, so here he is in front of the police chief, right?
Right.
Who prosecutes people or, you know, arrests them for misdemeanors, yeah. You know? So I thought, gosh, he was just spot on every single point where he nailed
sure
Inslee big time. And I think it just is such a good testament as to why he should be the governor and Inslee should not. He is the leader for the time. And there's
absolutely.
No better way to put it. In fact, I really liked his response to Inslee's pushing about climate change being the whole cause of all these forest fires.
Oh my goodness.
And his response in our local paper about that was, Culp said, "I do not deny that the climate changes,"
yep.
Which is sweet because there is no truth to a man-made global warming scenario.
Right.
And, you know, this is what my book is about, basically, you know,
is
all the proof behind it. And the 32,000 PhDs from all around the globe that got together to prove this to both Congress, and they sued Al Gore for fraud, all this other stuff. And so the fact that Culp wasn't going to be bullied, he wasn't going to be pushed around by this communist globalist plan to bring the world under control through eco-fascism. Right?
Exactly.
Yep. You know, so it was awesome. I really appreciated his response to that.
Well, there's a lot of things that we can appreciate about him. And, you know, they kept trying to pin the, you're a small town guy. You know, how can you, this is what's really funny. You're from Republic, Washington, a small town. How can you be the governor of a state with millions of, you know, billions of dollar budget, millions of dollar, you know, large industries and, you know, in complex ferry and transportation system. And how can you possibly run all this stuff when you're from Podunkville?
Right.
You know, and I love his answer was really great. First of all, what person is qualified for that job who's never done it before?
Right, exactly. It's not
the
position does not require that you have run a state before.
Exactly. There is, and he has run businesses before.
Right.
Now, he might be the chief of police of a one police officer police department in a small town now, but he in Puget Sound, when he was living there, he built up a multi-million dollar construction business.
Right.
You know, like just like he said, from a pickup truck that he made payments to his
yep.
grandpa for.
Started and a, from scratch.
Yeah, a home-built trailer, and that's how he built up his construction business with employees. How many employees has Governor Inslee had?
I know.
How many businesses has he built? He has no experience in this.
Right.
And but Culp, his response was excellent. He says, "I'm not here to run businesses or to run the state or to run your lives. My job is to make sure the laws, it's the executive branch, to make sure the laws are executed in the state of Washington.
In a lawful manner, according to the Constitution.
Absolutely.
Yep.
And, you know, he's obviously shown that he can handle budgets from a police department or to a business, a private business.
Right. And I'm sorry.
Which I was going to say that Inslee has no experience, no reality, real world experience at all in any of that kind of stuff.
Right. And Culp just showed his exemplary leadership skills. He just, every single answer that he had was unwavering. It wasn't iffy. It wasn't wishy-washy. He
yep.
knows his stuff.
Yep. Solid.
And a good solid leader has that kind of ability and that kind of response. And I don't know. I just really appreciate everything that he had to say. I like who the guy is.
I did too. I did too. Now, I want to throw out these. I know you guys have your pen and paper handy because you're supposed to. Anytime you tune in to Radio Free Redoubt, especially the morning commute, to have a pen and paper handy. And some of you guys sat up straight and went, what? What was that story you mentioned before the break about the United Nations intervention in our elections or Nancy Pelosi's 25th Amendment, whatever it is, those three articles that I mentioned. So one is that ready to copy? Okay. TheNationalPulse.com. TheNationalPulse.com. And that covers the story basically where the New York Times calls for UN election intervention. The New York Times calls for UN election intervention.
Can I just clarify?
Yeah.
That is a newspaper calling for foreign intervention into our election.
Right. And the same newspaper that was ripping on Trump for allegedly falsely accusing him of being involved with the Russians who were intervening in our elections.
Exactly. Yeah. 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 Yeah, that whole Russian probe lasted for how long? Was that a year and a half? Was that 2 years?
Almost the whole 3 years.
Good grief. And so here's the newspaper calling for more foreign intervention into this election. Really? Are they kidding?
Well, here's something that's going to be helpful. TheNewAmerican.com. TheNewAmerican.com. I think you can remember that. TheNewAmerican.com. As running an article right here, the DHS is issuing immigration guidelines banning those with links to communism.
Right.
I'm going to cover more of this tomorrow morning on the Saturday morning show on Radio Free Redoubt.
And then on the Sunday show, we're going to have to cover how there was a Chinese national denied U.S. entry over Chinese Communist Party membership.
Yes. That will be segment four of the Sunday night podcast, RadioFreeRedoubt.com. It's our Sunday night podcast. Go to RadioFreeRedoubt.com and type listen to RFR or click on the tab that's labeled listen to RFR. And then finally, check out dailywire.com. That's dailywire.com. The article there is Pelosi Democrats to hold event to discuss the 25th Amendment removing Trump from office. You do an internet search there and use the dailywire.com and the other stuff, you'll go right to it. So anyway, that rounds things up for this morning. You guys have a blessed rest of the day. Join me tomorrow morning at Saturday morning, KTW, Radio Free Redoubt.
That's right. Have a great Friday and a wonderful weekend, and blessings to all of you out there.